Hello everyone, I'm going to be doing some devotions and I'm going to be reading out of Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you can give us wisdom and understanding from your word. Help us to understand and see. Help us to be able to apply it to our hearts and this lesson. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whether whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's in a way that put that he, this is the things he can do. He can not, he can walk with God. And sometimes people say, I have a hard time understanding how to walk with God, or what do I do, or how can I do it? But the word comes that God helps us. God helps us walk with him. We're not able to do it, but with his help. And so with his help, then we don't get into situations that are against God. And then we find his, he gives us a delight to be in his word. There's some things that are really hard to understand. Psalm 1 and tells us about the man, but there also tells us about two men. One man is good and one man is bad. And we know this is more of the bad than the good in our life. As I've thought about as I've thought about different things, I come up with a thought that right is right and wrong is wrong. And it's hard for a lot of people to think that doing a little bit of wrong is not, it's okay. But it isn't. It gives us a license, it gives us a license to do a lot more wrong. And so spiritual lessons, and this is what this is, lessons about eternal things. Eternal things are in the Bible. As we talk about eternal things, some people will understand, some people won't. I hope that the group that listens to this today will be the group that is understanding, can understand. Because if you say you can't understand, we need to know, need to have the Lord help us in that. If that doesn't, that doesn't come across, we're part of the group that doesn't understand and that won't. God has different ways of speaking to us, and there's one that walks with God will be happy to hear his word, and it'll be looking to hear it. And we find that in Jude tells about the people who Enoch was one of the men that I'm looking at today, and Enoch said they said he walked with God. And that was one of the things if I was ever going to have anything put on my tombstone, I was going to say that he walked with God. I like that testimony that Enoch had, and I'll talk about him just a minute, but I'm a recent scripture from Jude chapter 1, and it says, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that the ungodly among them and all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths swells with great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of the advantage. And when you think, I think about that, that almost sounds like reading today's paper or listening to today's news is so right on it. But Enoch was a man that was part of God's family, in that he believed God. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and then he wasn't, because God had taken him home there. A little boy in Sunday school, his parents asked him, what did he learn in Sunday school? He said, well, I learned about Mr. Enoch and what happened to Mr. Enoch. He said, well, he was, every day he would walk with God, and one day he got closer to God's home than he was his own home. And God said, Enoch, why don't you come home with me? So he did. And then Enoch wasn't there anymore. And so we find that in these things here, God walked with men in the Bible, and it gives us these things. In Genesis chapter 6, it says that Noah walked with God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. And there was another man that from the past, but a man that was alive, another man that is in eternity today, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we find that it was a testimony against the people that were on earth at that time, and that were swallowed up in the flood that God put on earth to judge. We think, well, God is not active, but in his time, he is. In the time of the flood, he was active, and he took care of Noah and his family, and he brought him through. And then Noah had a relationship with God. The third man I want to say something about was Moses, and the Bible calls him a man of God. And he was a man that God spoke to him when he was 80 years old, and he talked to him, and he says, I want you to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he had to go through several things that before he was really convinced that was what God wanted him to do. His age was one of them. He said, I'm older, and I'm not able to do the things that you want me to do. And God took everything that he said that he couldn't do, and he turned it around, and he made it so that he could do things. And we find that there's situations in our lives, situations in our thoughts. There's been men that have come across my mind when I was younger. One of them was, his name was Joe Farron. We called him Uncle Joe. And Uncle Joe Farron was a man that lived in Millington, and he was a postman up there. And he had a Model A Ford coupe. And I remember that when he come to our church, that he was had a top hat, a stovepipe black hat he would wear. And he said he was always telling stories when he was on the mail route. Every time somebody would be out to get the mail, when he come along, he liked to talk to them and tell them jokes, and that was one of the things that he was really good at. And so when his wife was dying, and she wanted him to become a Christian, and he had refused it up until that time. And when that she was dying, she led him to the Lord at that time, and then she passed away. And he thought about that, and God spoke to him about learning poems that were about the gospel and about about Jesus. And he started learning these poems. And when he would come to our church, he would drive in with that little Model A coupe there, and he would come and sit in the congregation. And the pastor would say, Uncle Joe, have you got a poem for us tonight? And he says, yes, I do. Sometimes he would get behind the pulpit and say the poem. Sometimes he would just stand in the congregation and say the poems. but it always touched my heart. I never forget that. That was a ministry that he had, a ministry that touched people's hearts, just like somebody having a song. I've thought about that through the years. It's just like somebody having special music that touches your heart. And them poems that Uncle Joe would say, he'd have them memorized. Just like he'd have the stories or the jokes from the past, he had them memorized. So he said them, and he said them so well that I've always thought I wanted to kind of copy that thing. But poetry, to me, is just about like the music. God didn't give me that tune yet, not until I get to heaven. So I have to do what I can do for the Lord. Another man that I met in years ago, his name was Mr. Schultz, and he was the head of the Galilean Baptist Mission, and he preached at our church one time, and we had him over for Sunday dinner. Marlene invited him for Sunday dinner, and he told us a story that him and his wife run a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and she died, and he was there by himself, and he said, you know, I have a burden on my heart about churches. And he talked to the Lord about it, and God gave him a way of getting starting churches. And he ended up starting 18 churches in his lifetime. And he would go to a church and get the group of people that wanted a new church in a new community, and things were going along. And he'd gather a bunch of people together and have Sunday services every Sunday. And as he was preaching, he would be training somebody to do the work in the church. And he would, through the time, he would have a regular church service, and then he would find somebody to be the preacher. And he'd get the person to be a preacher, and then he would turn it over to them, and he would go start another church. And he did that for a lot of years, and he started 18 churches with the Galilean Baptist Mission. And so, as I think about that, there was another one that come across my mind, and his name was Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill lived and he was a scientist, and he lived around the time of Edison. Edison had invented the light bulb. And this man, Napoleon Hill, was a scientist, and he wanted to come and work with him in what he was doing. And Napoleon was going along good, and his wife had a son. And he was born with no ears. No, there was no ears on his head. There was no hole for ears. There was nothing there that give the idea that there should have been something there. And he looked at him, and he looked at that son, and the son couldn't hear because there was nothing there for that boy to hear. And he thought about it and thought about it. And God gave him a thought that if he would just start talking to him. And as he sat at the table, he started talking to him every time he went by. And all of a sudden, he seen some evidence that that boy could hear. He didn't know how it was. He didn't know how much he could hear. But he kept talking to him, and kept talking to him. And every time he'd go by, he'd say something. And more that boy started to understand. And he would tell him to do something, and he would do it. He'd tell him to go someplace, and he would do that. Then he started telling him different things, and then he started showing him different things to do. And all of a sudden, in some way, that boy was able to go to school. And and what he would do, he would stand behind him and tell him something to do. And so he told a teacher that there was something that she would stand behind him and tell him what she wanted him to do, that he would do it. And then he developed, as he got older, he developed into a young man that could go to college. And he got a job working in a successful job. And as Napoleon Hill, he had this faith, he had this belief that God could do it. You know, through the years, we read, and we really need to read the stories about Jesus and how Jesus touched people's lives. And you think that it's different today, that that was a long time ago that Jesus touched people's lives, but today he can do the same thing. If we've got that faith that them people have, we have faith in God, there's nothing impossible. So as I think about the men here, that the man that stands here, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, that's a terrible thing to be. I worked around ungodly people, and it wasn't easy. It was hard. It was difficult to stand in that. But how easy it is to stand in the church and give a testimony. How easy and pleasant it is to listen to other people have a testimony about God and what God has done for them. And I know that, you know, as I think about Christian men and Christian women, there's a something good about that. So as I have a guidelines in my life that right is right, and right is when it's the right thing to do, we do it, because that's the right thing. Right thing to help somebody, right thing to get up and go to work in the morning, right thing to not forsake it. And the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of my people into his house. It tells us that in Hebrews. And so there is a right way to think about things. It's right for me to get up in the morning and go to church. It's right for me to have a testimony. It's right for me when pastor asks me to do something and say, yes, I can do it, rather than say, I am not interested, or I don't want to, or I can't. And we find it's always right to do that, and it's wrong not to do it. It's wrong to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And people, when you have problems, don't go to the world. Don't go to somebody that's not a Christian. Go to a Christian. Go to God's Word. Go to things that are spiritual. Go to things that are eternal. And the things that are eternal are in God's Word, more important than anything else, because they're going to go with us into eternity. And we find that these things are part of God's way and part of God's hope for us in here. What does it matter, after all, if we serve God? What does it matter if we believe this? It matters in eternity. It matters in eternal things. And it satisfies our heart to do the right thing. It satisfies our soul that we can say, I've done something for the Lord. It satisfies our heart that we know that we are doing the right thing and going the right way. To read God's Word each and every day gives us a help and a hope, and it gives us an education in a spiritual way, that God's way, what God's doing, how he's doing it, why he's doing it, and the things that cause us to think more strongly about walking with God. Only God is great. You know, that the world will tell you there's a great people in athletics, great people in entertainment, great people in politics, great people in business, but only God is great. Only God is the one that's great, and he is the one that gives anyone that has something, it comes from God. Only God is wise, and we think that we're wise in the things that we do. As we get to be parents in our life and have a family, and we get to be parents, and our kids maybe think that we are wise, and we get to thinking, well, I've given them good answers, and I'm wise. But the Bible says only God is wise. And we find that apart from God, nothing else matters. And it's hard for us to accept that nothing else matters except God. Only what we do for God will remain. That is the thing. In a human life, all we can produce is sin. And without God, we are sinners. And without God, we're lost. But with God, there is forgiveness. And only with him is there forgiveness. We can't go to a statue. We can't go to a certain place in the world. We can't go to a church. We can't do any of that thing to get forgiveness. Only God forgives us in our sin. Only God protects us, and anything that He has taken care of us is safe. Only in God's protection are we safe. The Bible tells us that He gives us eternal life. Man is a dwelling place for God. What a thought. Man is a dwelling place for God. And that's one of the things that I'd like to leave with you. If you don't think, if you don't feel, if you haven't any assurance that God is dwelling in you, or if you have a relationship with God, I would ask you to bow your head and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ask for forgiveness from your sin. Repent of the way that you are living. Then turn your heart over to God. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.